It was haunting, vicious, real. Brutus leaned against my leg and my hand dropped to scratch his head. I set the blowtorch down and reached for my phone, switching off the music. My ears rang from the echoes of the angry melodies, and I winced at the countless unread texts on the screen. I tapped on our sibling group chat, noticing it had a new name today. Look what the stork dragged in. I snorted as I scanned the messages. Cope.
Has anyone checked to make sure Link hasn't burned down my house?
Fallon. I heard he did some redecorating. Glitter pink walls all the way. She dropped a glitter explosion gif. Trace.
Don't talk about glitter. I'm still scarred from the glitter bomb you detonated in my truck.
Fallon. Sorry, broski, but honestly, ancient history, right? Trace.
Not when I'm reminded of it every time Keely wants to do an art project.
Kai.
Pretty sure I saw pink glitter in your hair when we sparred this morning.
Rhodes. I think pink glitter would be a good look for you, Trace. Shep.
Pretty sure he's got pink glitter polish on his toes right now.
Trace.
I told you that in confidence. Remember this when my deputies write you that next speeding ticket.
Shep.
It's only Cope who has to worry about speeding. Maybe Arden. I play by the rules.
Cope.
Hey, don't throw me under the bus. I'm reformed. Precious cargo and all.
Cope sent a photo of Luca in a Seattle Sparks jersey, holding a puck signed by a couple of players. Rhodes. Watch your back, Copey. Luca's coming for your spot on the team. A mixture of feelings swirled inside me, each one battling for supremacy. Happiness for Cope and what he'd found, longing for it for myself, and a hollowness knowing it would never be mine. Cope.
He's got what it takes. Hey, Arden, proof of life, please.
I shook off the haze of emotions, doing my best to sock them away until I could bleed them into my art again. I sent a quick selfie of me sticking out my tongue, mask still flipped up. Me. Some of us work for a living. We can't be attached to our phones 24/7. Kai.
Burn, eh? That wasn't very nice.
Me. Says the guy who put a massive fake spider in Shep's gym bag the other week. Kai.
He ratted me out about missing family dinner to hit the bar with the guys.
Shep.
I didn't know you told Mom you were working. If you're going to lie to one, lie to all.
Kai.
At least I didn't miss last week. Lolly hitting on Link is going down as a favorite family moment.
Rhodes. What do you think she's diamond painting him right now? Fallon.
I got a little peek the other day, and it might be her best work yet.
Kai.
I hope it's elves fucking again. Always a classic.
Cope.
Jesus, I can't believe he's still there after all of this.
Something about that text had pressure mounting in my chest. Link's time here was temporary. He'd get the house going and then head back to Seattle, only coming here on holidays or the odd weekend. I hated the idea that I wouldn't be running into him at Haven, around the property, or in town. I'd been doing nothing but avoiding him for the past week, but I couldn't stand the thought of him going. Cope.
How's he seem, Arden? I know Ellie came to visit.
This felt like a test. Did he know I'd kissed his best friend? That I was still dreaming of the taste of bourbon on his lips and the scent of cedar swirling around him? Me. He's fine. Cope.
Please stop. Too much text to read. I'll never get through it all.
I sent him a middle finger emoji before anything else. Me. I haven't seen him much lately, but your house is still standing. All of that was true, but it still felt like a giant lie. Fallon.
Surprising you haven't seen him. You two seemed pretty tight at dinner last week.
Rhodes.
Agreed. Lolly might have slipped and said she saw you two more than a little close.
Texts came through in rapid-fire succession. Cope.
What does she mean, close?
Shep.
Is he hitting on you?
Trace.
I can get you a restraining order.
Kai.
Get yourself some, little killer.
The fact that I knew Trace was only half kidding had me groaning and my fingers flying across the screen. Me. Retract all claws and weapons, please. My virtue is safe. You know Lolly sees sex everywhere. Shep.
Even in gourds. I'm reminded every time I walk into the greenhouse and see that damned diamond painting.
That had me stifling a giggle.
Poor by-the-book Shep having a penis gourd painting in his and Thea's greenhouse brought me more joy than it should have. Cope.
Just tell me if you need me to have a word.
Me, perfectly capable of speaking for myself. Kai.
And wielding knives.
True enough. Glancing at the time in the upper left-hand corner of my phone, I cursed. I was going to be late if I didn't move. Locking the device, I shoved it into the pocket of my shorts and quickly put away my supplies. Want to go to town? I asked Brutus. His tail thumped enthusiastically. I'm taking that as a yes. I grabbed my keys and headed for the door. Yanking it open, I came up short at the massive man filling the space, hand raised to knock. Link's green-gold eyes stared down at me, a wariness there that had my stomach churning. Hey, I greeted lamely. He didn't waste time or mince words.
You're avoiding me.
I stepped out onto the front stoop, trying to avoid Link's broad body. Just been busy.
Bullshit.
I winced. If I'd called bullshit on him, it was only fair that he'd call it on me. I licked my lips. They suddenly felt like they were as dry as a desert. I'm on a new project. Got the show, things at the collective, family stuff. Link just stared down at me. But then a gentleness slid into his expression, one that slayed me in the worst way. Because even though I'd been avoiding him, it was as if he understood.
Arden, why are you avoiding me?
The use of my name was worse. The way his tongue curled around the syllables. How he used my actual name instead of some silly nickname. The vulnerable honesty of the question. I'm scared. The two words were out before I could stop them. Accidental vulnerability. Link's gaze only softened further. The deep green swirling with lighter flecks caught in the sunlight.
Talk to me.
My mouth went dry, words lodging in my throat. I didn't know how to explain, but I'd try. He deserved that. I'm not good at this stuff. Emotions, relationships. I can't even tell my family I love them without all but having a panic attack. He was quiet for a moment, seemingly taking that in. Then he shifted and moved closer, his large form towering over me. But his hand moved slowly, giving me every chance to back away or stop him. But I didn't. Link's thumb skated along my jawline until his fingers tangled in my hair.
I know a little something about that. The urge to lock everyone out because you know what it's like to lose the people you love most.
But you don't. I've seen you. It's as easy as breathing for you, with Ellie, with Cope.
It's a choice,
he said, fingers tightening in my hair.
It doesn't mean it doesn't scare the shit out of me at times. You saw me the other night. If I'd shut Ellie out, maybe it wouldn't hurt so much to worry about her.
Everything twisted inside me, nodding and tangling because I knew he was right. My eyes burned. I keep messing it up. Link's thumb stroked across my cheek.
You're doing just fine.
I battled the tears that wanted to fall, but I knew if they started, they'd never stop. I hurt you. And you're the last person I want to do that to. Sometimes it feels like all I do is bring hurt and pain into people's lives. Worry.
Arden,
he whispered.
I know my worth. I can take it if you have a little freak out. I'm still going to be here, waiting for us to fix it. And that's what we're doing. It's the only thing we can ask for. Perfection is impossible. Mending broken pieces isn't.
My fingers found a thread on my cut-off shorts, and I absently wrapped it tightly around one, the bite of discomfort helping me hold back the tears.
You bring so much more than hurt, pain, worry.
Link reached out, gently unwinding the string from my finger.
You bring insight, understanding, kindness, and And so much fire. Don't sell yourself short. It pisses me off.
I let out a choked laugh. Sorry.
You should be,
Link said, amusement coating his words. He tipped my head back.
You are nothing less than miraculous, okay?
I swallowed. But my words were cut off, as if Link knew what I was about to say and wasn't about to let it reach the air. Instead, he stole them, swallowing them whole as he took my mouth. The kiss was both gentle and powerful, comfort and fire, a potent and surprising mix that was all Link. His tongue slid against mine, stroking and teasing. I leaned into it, pressing my body to his, needing the contact, the strength. I moaned into his mouth as he took. Link's hand moved under my ass. I ground myself into him when he lifted me, feeling him harden against me and wanting more, wanting it all. Brutus let out two sharp barks, and I tore my mouth from Link's, glancing down at my pup.
That dog,
Link ground out, still holding me to him.
He's lucky I like him because he's a fucking cockblock.
I burst out laughing, burying my face in Link's neck.
Love that sound. Your laughter.
I pulled back, peering into those hypnotizing eyes. Thanks for letting me fuck up.
Thanks for letting me call you on it,
he said with a grin. Do you want to do something with me? I asked, a bit of hesitancy bleeding into my voice.
Vicious. I want to do a lot of things with you.
I pressed my lips together to keep from laughing. Sorry to disappoint, cowboy, but we won't be naked for this particular activity.
I can get creative with our clothes on,
Link challenged. My nipples tightened into sharp, almost painful peaks. You're not helping me right now.
And you think you're helping me? The fact that I can feel your heat bleeding into me, practically burning me alive. Knowing how close I am to sinking into you, how close I am to knowing exactly what you feel like, taste like.
He groaned. A shiver racked through me. Link.
Fuck,
he muttered, setting me down.
I need some distance from you. You're more addictive than cocaine.
My lips twitched. Sorry?
You should be.
Link sighed.
All right, where are we going? Not naked.
I grinned up at him. It's a surprise, but I think you'll like it. 26. Arden. The drive into town was quick, but I didn't miss the occasional scowl Link sent poor Brutus, who sat between us on the bench seat. I tried to stifle a laugh, but couldn't quite get there.
It's not funny,
Link muttered.
If you're taking me somewhere in public, I'll probably be arrested for walking around with a hard-on.
This time, my laugh wasn't stifled at all. Sorry about that.
You're not sorry at all,
he shot back. No, I'm not.
Vicious,
he muttered. I glanced over at him. Would you wish away that kiss not to have blue balls in this moment? Link's eyes flashed that brighter green.
Wouldn't wish away a single second with you, even if it meant agreeing to a lifetime of torture.
Good.
Blue balls it is.
Link muttered. Brutus turned and licked his cheek. Link chuckled.
A little solidarity, finally.
I don't know about that. Brutus hasn't had balls for a long time. Link covered the dog's ears.
Don't remind him. That's just cruel.
I laughed as I pulled into an empty spot a little bit down from the collective. Come on. I hooked Brutus's leash to his collar and he looked up at me balefully.
And now you add insult to injury.
Link said, shaking his head.
I'd never do this to you, B.
I rolled my eyes. Then you'd get a ticket from Trace.
I can afford it.
Billionaires, I muttered, shutting the door behind me and Brutus. As I started toward the collective with Link at my side, he peered down at me, confusion in his gaze.
I've already been to the collective.
Yes, but you haven't been to one of our art camps. They're my favorite. The confusion melted into something else, and whatever the emotion was, there was a tenderness to it.
Thanks for letting me into your world, Vicious.
You're welcome, cowboy. Brutus wagged his tail as we walked up the path to the collective. There was a table set up in the gallery space, where I knew parents would check their kids in for the day. Behind it stood Farah with a shit-eating grin. Well, look what the cat dragged in. A reclusive artist and the man who looks like he needs to be climbed like a tree. I choked on a laugh. Farah! She held up both hands. I just call him like I see him. Can't be helped. Well, try to refrain from any tree climbing, would you? Farah waggled her eyebrows. I can't make any promises. I swear, between you and Lolly, it's a miracle I don't have gray hair, I muttered. Link tipped his head to kiss my temple.
You'd look cute rocking the grays.
Oh, Jesus. Farah mumbled and started fanning herself. Get out of my sight before I can bust. I laughed and led Link down the hall. I pointed out the different studio and storage spaces as we went. We saw works in progress from Hannah, Isaiah, and Farah, and it looked like Hannah's watercolor that she'd been struggling with had found its stride. The collective's building formed a U-shape, with the gallery on one side and the storage and studio spaces in the other two. But what lay in the middle was my favorite part. I slowed before a set of French doors, the sounds of voices and laughter on the other side filtering around me. I glanced up at Link. Welcome to one of my favorite places. Opening the doors, I gestured for Link to pass through. I tried to take it in through his eyes. The courtyard had a magical feel to it, as if it were a land that could be home to fairies. Fig trees were scattered around, their branches wrapped in lights. And the entire space was oriented with the best views of the mountains. But there currently wasn't a whole lot of peace to be found in the space. A little girl screeched as she leapt over one of the planters, teeming with flowers. A little boy held up a paintbrush like he was about to duel with someone. Half a dozen miniature tables covered in art supplies had been set up.
Who knew this was hidden away back here?
Link said, taking it all in. We can open some doors in the gallery for events. It makes for a nice spot for cocktails and hors d'oeuvres. He arched an eyebrow.
And are you one for cocktails and hors d'oeuvres?
I made a face. Stuffy parties were not my thing. Sacrifices must be made for a good cause. Link's gaze roamed over my face, taking me in. The movement felt like his fingertips were grazing the skin, making every nerve ending stand at attention.
Let me guess. Never for personal gain, but always willing to fall on your sword for the kids.
One of said kids let out a battle cry as if to punctuate Link's point. The corner of my mouth kicked up, and I shrugged. They're worth it.
They are. But there's more.
Of course, Link would see that there was a deeper motivation for me. A clawing need to give to others would have been given to me. I didn't talk when I came to live with the Coulsons. Pain streaked across Link's expression. I tried not to let it land, the fact that he cared so deeply about my agony, and pushed on. I was scared all the time, so sure those men would find me again, kill me this time.
Arden,
Link rasped. But things changed. It was gradual and a multi-person effort, but it all started with paint and Lolly. A little of the sadness and pain lifted from Link's eyes.
I hope she wasn't doing dick art with you when you were 12.
I choked on a laugh. No, she was in her oils and landscape phase then, and would set up two easels for us in the backyard every day. She'd talk some, but never expected me to answer. She taught me the basics and told me to let out whatever I needed to. A muscle fluttered along Link's jaw.
It's how you started letting out the darkness.
I nodded. There were other things, too. Nora taught me about horses, and I discovered their healing powers. When Kai came to live with us, he taught me how to protect myself and feel strong. And slowly but surely, I found my way through. It wasn't back to the girl I'd been, because she was gone, but I'd become someone better, someone more real. Link moved in then, crowding me. His fingers slid into my hair and tipped my head back.
So fucking strong.
Because others helped me find that strength, the healing. I want to make sure I give that outlet to anyone who needs it.
You're killing me, Vicious.
Link's head dipped, his lips brushing mine with a feather-light touch. Then a tiny but very angry voice broke into my Link haze.
Why are you kissing my girlfriend, mister?
27. Lincoln. I pulled back from Arden, the taste of cherries still clinging to my lips, and stared down at the little boy. He looked about 7 or 8, but his stance was decades older. He had his arms crossed over his tiny chest and glared at me. Your girlfriend, huh? I asked.
Yes, he huffed. Miss Arden has my painting on her fridge, and I let her have half my cookies at lunch break.
I glanced at Arden as she pressed her lips together to keep from laughing. Painting and cookies? That sounds serious. More than I can compete with, I said. The boy let out something that sounded almost like a harumph. An elderly man would make it a cartoon as he pinned me with a warning stare.
You should remember that. I'll be watching you.
He stalked away. I couldn't help it. I laughed. You didn't tell me you were already involved. Arden let out a laugh that was more giggle than anything, and something about the lightness of it eased some of the weight of our earlier conversation.
I'm sorry, would you believe it slipped my mind?
Vicious. Now I need to start working on a painting and find some damn cookies, I muttered. It's hard to keep up. Arden laughed harder. You got the smackdown from Benny, didn't you? Isaiah asked as he strode up, his eyes dancing with humor. Oh, I'm dead in the water. Isaiah barked out a laugh. He kicked my ass. Isaiah glanced around. My butt for bringing Artie coffee one day. Arden rolled her lips over her teeth, trying to stifle her remaining laughter.
What can I say? I've got high standards.
Isaiah shook his head.
Heartbreaker. Just leaving a trail of trampled shards in your wake.
Hey,
Arden argued. I don't doubt he's right, baby, I said. You have no idea of your power.
She really doesn't, Isaiah said, shaking his head.
Arden's cheeks reddened as she glared at Isaiah. Don't you have something important to do? He just grinned at her and then clapped me on the shoulder.
Yeah, I gotta put your boyfriend through his paces.
Boyfriend. The term was ridiculous for a 37-year-old man, but I couldn't deny that I got a surge of pleasure from any link to Arden, any claim, because the truth was, I'd do anything to be hers. I sat at the ridiculously tiny table, my knees coming up so high they were practically at my ears. It was a miracle the minuscule chair I sat on hadn't simply given way under my weight, but the three kids at my table had no such issues. The little girl to my left had brown hair and freckles, her lip tugged between her teeth as she went after her paper with a gusto I admired. There was no hesitancy in her at all, no second guessing. Isabella was ready for whatever came her way, no challenge was too big. To my right was a girl named Gracie. She was much more timid. Her dark hair hung in a way that mostly hid her face from view, and each brushstroke she made was thoughtful and deliberate. Her worn clothes and shoes made my heart clench. Suddenly I knew I'd be asking Arden if there was anything I could do to help. There was nothing timid about the energy coming at me from across the table. Benny glared at me with a hatred fueled by 1,000 blazing suns. He only moved it away to paint little pieces of his creation at a time. I studied my piece. The assignment had been to paint something that made us happy. I'd wanted to paint Arden, but I didn't think old Benny would be too happy about that. Plus, my art skills were fairly limited. So, I'd gone with a simple landscape, the view from the plot of land that had officially become mine 2 days ago. I'd leaned slightly to my right and peeked at Gracie's paper.
That's so pretty.
Her head lifted for the barest moment, just long enough for her to give me a hint of amber eyes before it ducked again.
Thank you,
she whispered. That invisible fist ground against my sternum again as I studied the picture. It was of three people in front of a Ferris wheel.
Is that your mom?
I asked, pointing to the tallest figure. Gracie shook her head.
That's Hey-Hey, my sister.
And who's this?
I asked, pointing at the second tallest.
My other sister. Mom doesn't like the fair.
Something about that set me on edge. I got that fairs and carnivals might not be someone's thing, but you sucked it up and did it anyway if your kids loved them. Memories of escapes to Coney Island with Ellie and her mom swirled in the back of my mind in smoky tendrils I couldn't quite grab hold of.
Looks like you had fun, I said softly.
Gracie's head lifted again. This time I got a smile. It was brief, but dazzling.
It was my best day.
I love best days. Benny made a sound of protest opposite me. I turned my focus to him. What's your painting of? He grinned, and there was a cocky air to it, even at age 7 or 8. He held up a portrait of a woman with dark hair and purple eyes.
Miss Arden, she makes me happy.
That little shit was one-upping me. Benny's grin only widened in challenge.
What's yours?
I held up my landscape.
The mountains?
Benny's face screwed up.
Mountains make you happy?
Dumb. Benny, Arden's voice cut in, a sternness to it I hadn't heard before. We don't talk to others that way. What's our motto around here? Benny ducked his head, his cheeks flushing.
Everyone's art is beautiful. Everyone has their own path.
That's right. She patted his shoulder. And yours looks awesome. Any embarrassment disappeared as he lifted it to her.
It's you.
I swore Arden melted. Dang that kid for stealing my moves. I think that's the sweetest thing anyone's done for me. My gaze cut to her. Better than cheeseburgers when you haven't eaten all day? Arden choked on a laugh.
Just a little.
Benny sent me a smirk and mouthed, sucker. I pushed to my feet, stretching as Arden encouraged each tiny artist, giving them pointers as she made the rounds. When she got to me, she stopped and glanced into my eyes.
Let's see what you've got, Mr. Pierce.
Fuck. My dick twitched, and now was so not the time. I thought about the disgusting smell of a hockey locker room after a game, sweaty gym socks, anything but Arden's sultry voice calling me Mr. Pierce. I snatched up my painting and handed it to her, waiting for her assessment.
He needs to work on his shading,
Benny said from across the table. Arden looked up at me, her eyes dancing with mirth.
Everyone's a critic, I muttered.
He's not wrong, she said, pointing to an area of the mountains. If you add some shadow here, the mountains will look more three-dimensional. I leaned in closer as I took the painting back.
I'll work on it, Miss Waverly.
Arden's lips parted on a sharp inhale, those berry-stained pillows just crying out for a kiss.
What about mine, Miss Arden?
Isabella demanded, thrusting her paper out.
It's fireworks.
The painting was like the kid, wild and full of color. The paint was layered on so thick the paper had wrinkled and curved in places.
Izzy,
Arden said, grinning at her.
I love it. I think it's your best one yet.
Yes!
Isabella did a little boogie in her chair, fists and painting raised.
Show off,
Benny muttered under his breath. Isabella's gaze narrowed on him.
Just because Miss Arden got a new boyfriend doesn't mean you get to be all grumpy. She didn't,
Benny yelled. I might not have kids, but hockey players were kind of like overgrown toddlers at times, so I knew the start of a brawl when I saw one. I went for redirection. Who can help me make my mountains not suck? All three pairs of eyes came to me, their tiny jaws dropping. I winced, glancing at Arden. Is suck a bad word now? She struggled not to laugh.
It's borderline, but we don't talk about our work that way, right, guys?
Right,
Benny said quickly.
Mm-hmm,
Isabella agreed. Gracie just nodded. But it's always okay to ask for help, right? Arden pressed. Another round of agreement.
Who can help Mr. Link?
She asked. Everyone volunteered, even Benny. As I eased back in the chair that would likely leave me permanently injured, all three mini-artists dove in with suggestions. But my gaze followed Arden as she wove between the tables. She had a way with the kids. The crowd of tiny humans didn't seem to faze her. It was the adults she was wary of. Denver strode out of the gallery doors, crossing the space and heading straight for Arden. My teeth clamped down, and annoyance rose. I didn't like him. It wasn't altogether logical, but the man irritated me, likely because of how he looked at her. There was an attraction for sure, but it was more. He appraised her like a blank check, just waiting to be signed. He bent and whispered in her ear. Arden's expression turned hard as she shook her head.
"Mr. Link," Isabella prodded, "are you paying attention?"
I was not. "Sorry, Isabella," I said, trying to refocus. Benny glanced over his shoulder and scowled.
"I don't like him either."
Suddenly, I was united with my little nemesis.
"He looks at Miss Arden wrong,"
Gracie whispered, darting a glance at Denver before turning back. The quiet ones usually saw more, and Gracie was definitely that. But the fact that she could pin down the wrongness made me edgy. My annoyance burned brighter as someone new entered the courtyard. Quentin Arison, the douchebag from last week. He strode directly toward Arden, looking ridiculous in his tailored suit and dress shoes when it was over 80 degrees outside. His over-the-top watch peeked out from under his sleeve, and the diamond ring on his pinky finger was absurd. "I really don't like him," I muttered, pushing back my chair and stalking toward the douchebag.
28. Arden. I wasn't sure who to give my best Benny glare to, Denver or Quentin. Quentin was a douchebag for sure, but it was Denver who kept allowing him into my space.
"Arden," Quentin practically cooed. "It's so kind of you to spend your time teaching these little ones."
He said little ones as if it tasted bad.
"But shouldn't you be focusing on your work?"
My annoyance shifted into anger territory. "You say that as if you have any say in how I spend my time." Denver started coughing, his face flaming.
"Arden,"
he hissed. I sent him a scathing look that had him shutting his trap immediately. Quentin simply laughed.
"Such fire. Would be interesting to find out what it takes to break that spirit."
I gaped at the man opposite me. He hadn't seriously said that, had he?
"You know what I think would be interesting,"
a low voice said behind me. It was a voice I recognized, but it was completely devoid of emotion. Quentin's gaze flicked up to Link's.
"What's that, Mr. Pierce?"
He'd obviously done his homework on Link, and likely me. That made me uneasy. More than that, it freaked me the hell out. Link moved so he stood beside me, his arm pressing against mine, telling me he was there without suggesting I needed his protection.
"I think it would be interesting to find out just how quickly I could snap your arm in two. Perhaps break a finger or three."
Quentin chuckled, but there was no humor in the sound.
"You know, Mr. Pierce, I heard that someone's trying to dismantle your empire. I don't think you need another enemy."
I stiffened. What the hell did that mean? But before I could say anything, three tiny figures stomped into our circle. Benny was first, crossing his arms and glaring up at Quentin and Denver. Izzy was next, her little fists balled as she scowled at them, and finally Gracie. She was nervous but didn't let it stop her, and I admired that most of all. Brutus followed behind, baring his teeth at Quentin.
"You make Miss Arden mad. Leave,"
Benny demanded. Link chuckled next to me, and Benny turned slightly at the sound. Link held out a fist.
"My man."
Benny gave him a knuckle bump.
"This camp has a no meanies allowed rule, and you're meanies,"
Isabella informed them. It was my turn to start coughing as I tried not to laugh. A hardness settled into Quentin's eyes. One I didn't like one bit.
Clearly, your parents have neglected to teach you manners.
You mean yours didn't?
Benny shot back. The kid had a point. Quentin's gaze flicked to me.
I'm going inside to make a bidding strategy. I can't wait to have your pieces in my home, Arden.
Nausea swelled. Him owning my art felt like him owning a piece of me, and that was almost more than I could take. Quentin turned and strode inside. Denver turned to me, and I saw the anger stewing below his normally placid expression.
We'll talk about this later.
Fire surged, and I knew my eyes blazed as I glared at him. You'd better believe we will. Then Denver went hurrying after his meal ticket. My nausea intensified, because as much as it sucked that Quentin was here and being creepy, it sucked more that Denver was throwing me to the wolves. A hand curved around my elbow, a gentle reminder that I wasn't alone.
You okay?
I sighed and looked up at Link. I don't want that creep to have my art in his house. A muscle in his jaw fluttered.
Understandable.
And I think I'm going to have to fire my friend. Link's expression softened.
Is he really your friend if he'd put you in that sort of situation?
That was a good question. Tiny arms went around my waist, and I looked down to find Gracie hugging me.
I'm sorry, Miss Arden, but it's good you have Mr. Link to protect you. He's real big.
One corner of my mouth kicked up. I am lucky, aren't I? Benny sighed.
I guess he's okay.
Link grinned at the little boy.
Does that mean we're besties now?
Too far.
Benny grumbled, stalking away. Isabella smiled at Link.
Don't worry, sometimes he just needs a snack. He'll get over it.
Link glanced at me.
Get that boy some cookies before I end up with a shiv in my spine.
I burst out laughing and Brutus barked happily at the sound. Cookies it is. Everything hurt. I swore even my hair felt a little abused, and I was in shape. I trained with Kai weekly, I rode my horses almost daily, and my work was physical on top of it. Yet there was nothing like an entire day wrangling tiny kiddos. Hands landed on my shoulders as I stretched, kneading the knots there.
You okay?
Link asked.
I will be if you keep doing that forever, I mumbled.
I could be convinced.
I'm not above a little sexual coercion. He chuckled.
Good to know.
It's exhausting, isn't it?
I asked, looking around at the destruction left in the kids' wake. Hannah, Isaiah, and Farah were getting them off to their parents, while Link and I were handling cleanup duties.
I think this has convinced me I don't want 6 kids. I think 3 is good.
I whirled, gaping at him. You want 6 kids?
Wanted,
he corrected.
I'm good with 3 now.
He paused for a moment.
What about you? You want kids?
My palms instantly started to sweat as my heart rate picked up. I'm not sure, I croaked. Link studied me in that assessing way of his, the kind of look that peeled back the layers in search of understanding.
Not sure? Or scared?
My fingers went in search of something, anything to hold on to. They found one of the threads on my favorite jeans and began to twirl it. Why do you have to see so much? He shrugged.
I pay attention to the things that are important, and you're important.
I pulled the string tighter, cutting off the blood flow to my pointer finger. I don't know if I'd be good at it. I can't even tell my family I love them. I freak out about weird things. I don't know if it's fair to saddle a kid with that. But it didn't change the fact that I wanted it. I wanted a chance to do things differently than my parents had, to focus on the right things, and make sure my kids knew that happiness didn't come from having more, but from the people you surrounded yourself with. Link reached out, taking my hand and unwrapping my finger.
I watched you today. You have a gift when it comes to children. You reach them. You make them feel seen. If you decide you want to have some one day, They'll be the luckiest kids in the world because you were their mom.
My throat constricted, a burning sensation surging. Thank you. The words were barely audible, but they were there. A throat cleared. I jerked at the intrusion into such a private moment. When my gaze found the reporter hovering in the courtyard, my annoyance doubled. Yes, Mr. Levine, I clipped. He didn't seem put off by my tone.
You've been avoiding me.
He wasn't wrong, but that was my prerogative. I told you, I don't do press. Sam's eyes narrowed.
You said you'd go on background.
No, I said you could hang around if I was on background. There's a difference. He huffed out of breath.
This article won't be half as good without your involvement.
I shrugged. Oh, well.
You'd chance fewer donations because you're shy.
Sam challenged. I barked out a laugh. Mr. Levine, I'm a lot of things. Shy isn't one of them. That had him assessing me with new eyes, and I almost cursed. This was why I didn't like having reporters around. There was always the chance that I'd slip up, and they'd see something they shouldn't.
I think Arden has made herself clear.
Link stepped in, gesturing Sam back toward the doors that led to the gallery.
Crystal,
Sam said, the single word tight as he sent Link an annoyed look.
I know the way.
I sighed as he stalked away. What is it with grown men having tantrums today? Link wrapped his arms around me.
I don't know, but I think I'm on that list too.
You? I asked, tipping my head back.
Vicious, you've ruined me. I think I was jealous of a 7-year-old today.
A laugh bubbled out of me. I promise you don't have to worry about Benny.
Losing it over you,
Link whispered. I stared up at him, taking that in. Knowing I wasn't alone helped somehow. I feel the same way. You freak me out, Lincoln Pierce. He grinned down at me.
I'm taking that as a compliment.
I rolled my eyes. You would. He patted my butt.
Come on, let's clean up and get out of here. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure I'm going to deck the next person who's rude to you, and I don't need to get sued.
My lips twitched. Fair enough. We got to work restoring the courtyard to its original glory. It took us over an hour, but doing it together made it fun. By the time we made it to my truck with Brutus in tow, we were both starving. We decided to go for more burgers, and after a pit stop at the Pop, we headed home. I tried not to let it freak me out that it felt more like home with Link there, as if he had some sort of grounding force. I shoved all those feelings down and punched in the gate code to Cope's property before heading toward the guest house. I need to check one thing in my studio. It was a lie. I just needed a minute to catch my breath and still my rapidly beating heart.
Sure,
Link said easily.
I can get dinner set up.
It was so normal. So not me. Okay, I said. The code's the same. I didn't want to look too closely at the fact that I hadn't changed it after the night he'd stayed on my couch, or that I felt comfortable with him having it. I pulled to a stop between the house and the workshop. Link slid out and whistled to Brutus.
You want to come with me, boy? I've got your burger.
Brutus looked between us and I smiled at him. Go on. I watched as they headed for my house. They fit, the two of them, and they were clearly fond of each other. That only made me more nervous. It was as if I was at war with myself, wanting more yet being terrified of it. I headed for the studio. I'd just take a second, a moment to reel it all in and stuff it away until I could paint it all out. Punching in the code, I stepped inside and flicked on the light. I froze. Not a single breath or movement. Maybe my heart stopped too. And then I screamed.
29. Lincoln. Arden was twitchy. Not in a skittish way, but if I got too close, she put some distance between us. She thought I didn't know that's what she was doing, but she was wrong. Only I found it didn't bother me this time. It was honestly adorable. Because the thing Arden didn't realize was that even amid the push-pull of each interaction, I still ended up closer. To her scent, her feel, just her. And that was worth any price. "Come on, Brutus," I said, punching in the lock code to the front door. "I want you to know I got you a double patty. No singles for you. Think that means you won't cock-block me next time?" He looked up at me with eyes that said he thought I was ridiculous. He was probably right. I was having a full-on conversation with a dog. A scream tore through the air like a lightning strike, hitting my ears like a bolt slamming into the ground. I was running before I could think twice. The food and drinks fell, spilling out over the front stoop. The run to the workshop was quick, barely a couple of seconds, but it felt like a lifetime passed in those beats. A million what-ifs swirled, countless fears. Brutus pulled ahead, snarling, barking, and charging into the studio, a place where Arden stood frozen. I scanned her quickly, checking for injuries, but I didn't see any. Then my attention moved to the room, looking for an intruder. No one. But that's when I saw it. Arden's workshop had been all but destroyed. Supplies were strewn across the room, broken and smashed. Canvases had been slashed by what must have been a knife, and the metal statue Arden had been working on was toppled to the ground. Whoever had done this wasn't just angry. They were enraged. But it was more than that, because beyond the destruction was the blood, splashed on the walls, across the floor, coating her statue and the sliced canvases, and written on the far wall, "You can't hide." Fury coursed through me. It was as if whoever had done this had infected me with their rage. I moved into Arden's space and pulled her against me. My hands slid over her body, searching for reassurance. For her, for me, for us both. She trembled, and that slight movement, so unlike Arden, only stoked the fury coursing beneath my skin. "You're okay." My voice didn't sound like mine. It was as if some robot had spoken the words. Arden just shuddered against me in response. "Fuck. You're okay." I spoke the two words again like they would miraculously work this time. "Let's get you back to the house. I'll call Trace and the horses." Arden jolted, ripping herself from my arms and taking off at a run. I cursed, quickly running after her, Brutus right by her side. We didn't have the first clue if whoever had done this was still around, getting his rocks off by watching. Or worse, waiting to strike. "Arden!" I barked. "We need to get to the house. We need cover and to call the fucking cops." She sent me a look that should have had my skin blistering. "They're mine. They saved me over and over, just like my art. I'm not leaving them alone." "Hell." I didn't argue. I simply pulled out my phone and hit Trace's contact as I scanned the surroundings. He answered on the second ring. "Everything okay?" "No." "Talk," he clipped, but I could hear him already moving through the station. Someone trashed Arden's studio, left behind a threatening message and a lot of blood. I didn't want to think about what that blood could be from. "Get her somewhere safe and lock yourselves in. I'm on my way and sending units." "That might be a problem," I muttered. Arden rushed to the fence line, slipping between the rails and into the pasture. Her two horses moved to her instantly, and I watched as her shoulders sagged in relief at the sight of no visible injuries on the animals. She pressed her head to the gray ones as the tan nuzzled her neck. It was only then that Arden's shoulders began to shake. She made no noise as the sobs broke free, but the force of them racked her whole body, and I wanted to kill whoever had done this. "Link," Trace growled. "She wants to stay with the horses," I said quietly. "Of course she does," Trace muttered as a door slammed, then sirens flared to life. "Don't leave her." "I'm not going anywhere." The call disconnected and I followed Arden into the pasture, but I didn't move into her huddle. I knew the creatures she was with now gave her something I couldn't. The only thing I could do was stand guard, making sure no harm came to any of them. I scanned the forest and the buildings in an irregular pattern, over and over until Arden finally broke away from her horses. She was facing away from me, but I still saw her putting the armor back on. Her spine straightened, her shoulders squared, and she breathed deeply. Then she turned. Arden's eyes were red and a little glassy, but those were the only signs of her tears as sirens sounded in the distance. She crossed to me, a hardness settling into those gray violet eyes, the gray taking over now. "If you tell anyone I cried, I'll put X-lax in your coffee." I wanted to smile, but couldn't quite get there. "Noted. Now, come here." Arden shook her head, wisps of deep brown hair falling free of her haphazard bun. "Vicious," I warned. She came then, stopping when we were toe-to-toe. I stared at her for one beat, two, then I pulled her to me. She nuzzled in, letting me hold her, giving me what I needed, to know she was okay, or at least that she would be. The sirens grew louder, and a parade of sheriff's department vehicles kicked up dust. The horses whinnied and shied away from the sound, put on edge by the intrusion. I kept hold of Arden as most stopped at the workshop and guest house. One squad car and an SUV came toward the barn. Trace was out of the vehicle in a flash, striding toward us with a fury I'd never seen before on his face.
"Is she okay?"
he barked. Arden pulled back. "I'm fine, but my horses won't be if your deputies don't cut their sirens." Trace sent something over the radio. Slowly but surely, all the sirens silenced. Arden let out a long breath.
"Thank you."
Trace ducked between the fence rails and moved to his sister, giving her a quick hug.
"You sure you're all right?"
"Better now, finding my mad."
One corner of Trace's mouth kicked up.
"You always did do better when you found your mad."
Her lips twitched.
"I find out who did this, they're likely to lose a ball."
"Just one?" I asked, a hint of humor finally bleeding into my voice.
"I'm not a monster,"
Arden said, brushing hair from her face. Someone in uniform jogged toward us from the workshop. Trace's gaze tracked them instantly. The deputy, who looked a few years younger than Trace, slowed, his tan complexion a little sallow as unease slid over his features.
"It's bad, boss."
"Talk to me," Trace ordered. The deputy's gaze flicked to Arden and then back to Trace.
"Never seen anyone that mad. It's like he was slaughtering her studio."
"So, what did that say about what he wanted to do to Arden?"
30. Arden. There were people everywhere, and my house wasn't exactly equipped for lots of company. I was starting to realize that maybe I'd done that by design. And I was running out of excuses to avoid them all. I needed to change, I needed to get Brutus water, I needed to check the horses, again. Nora filled my vision, crouching low like I was 12 years old again. "I made some soup. Do you want some? Or maybe some tea?"
"Only if you had a strong dose of whiskey."
Lolly called from the opposite side of the room as she watched the deputies combing the property. She glanced my way.
"Or I brought my brownies. One or two of those, and you won't even know what day it is."
"Don't tell Trace you brought them," Fallon muttered from her spot at the kitchen island, where she'd been put to work chopping vegetables for some other thing Nora was making. Lolly turned back to the window.
"I don't know, maybe I should tell him. Would mind being cuffed by a few of those new recruits."
Kai choked on a laugh.
"Please tell Trace that, but warn me before you do, I want to get it on video."
Nora pushed to her feet and pinched the bridge of her nose.
"Lolly, I really don't think this is the time."
"This is exactly the time."
She sent me a wink. I appreciated her rescue attempt. Normally, I would have gotten a chuckle out of the back and forth, but the walls felt like they were closing in around me today. Fallon and Rhodes in the kitchen, Nora hovering, Lolly catcalling at the window, Kai's massive form taking over my armchair. The knowledge that Trace was walking a crime scene with Anson right now to get his profiler take. It was all too much. A loud knock sounded on the front door. Link squeezed my knee and then stood.
"I'll get it."
I was pretty sure I'd sent him a panicked look because I wanted to bolt. Too many people, too many possibilities for what this all could mean. He sent me his best reassuring glance, but it didn't do much good. A second later, voices rose and someone was stomping down the hallway. Shep appeared, his Coulson construction hat still in place and jeans dusty from a job site.
"What the hell happened?"
he barked. Link stepped in front of him in a flash.
"You need to rein it in. She's been through enough today."
A mixture of anger and respect flashed across Shep's expression, but he struggled to take a breath. Then Thea was by his side. She squeezed his arm. "Link's right. You storming around all caveman-like isn't going to help anything." Shep's gaze dipped to her.
"Caveman-like?"
She shrugged, a small smile playing on her lips. "If the shoe fits." He lowered his head to give her a quick kiss.
"Thanks, Thorn."
My chest tightened at the tenderness, the back and forth, the give and take. They were so in tune with each other. But what would become of either if something happened to one of them? The walls closed in a little more, and my breathing grew shallow. Tiny dots started dancing in front of my vision. I shoved to my feet. "I'll be back," I mumbled, bolting for the front door. A handful of family members called my name, and I thought I heard Link's voice saying something, maybe telling Brutus to stay. But the ringing in my ears was too loud to know for sure. Tumbling outside, I tried to breathe, but people were everywhere out here too. More pressure, no space. I started walking, just trying to get away from everyone, everything. Someone fell into step beside me, not touching me, but there.
"Follow me,"
Link ordered. His voice wasn't gentle or harsh, but I heard the command in it, and that cut through the fog. My body listened on instinct. Apparently it was an idiot, but I didn't have it in me to come up with another plan, so I followed. It took me a couple of minutes to realize that Link was leading me toward the main house. "Aren't Trace's people up here?" Link shook his head.
"They cleared it. No one got in. Camera feeds were checked too."
Camera feeds. One of the things that was supposed to keep me safe. But they hadn't this time. It was as if someone had known the system. They'd climbed a spot in the fence around the property where we had fewer cameras. They'd worn a dark hoodie and jeans that made it difficult to make out any distinguishing features beyond broad shoulders. But the creepiest part had been the mask. Whoever it was had looked straight up and into the camera with a mask that only had dark holes for eyes and a mouth. It was the sort of thing that could give a person nightmares. And that's exactly what they were trying to do. Anger surged to the surface. Whoever this was wanted to terrorize me. And they were succeeding. Link plugged in the code to the front door, then opened it and ushered me inside. The moment I stepped into the cool quiet, I breathed a little deeper.
"Come on,"
Link said, leading me farther into the house. He moved to the door that led to the basement. There were only two things down there, a gym and a screening room. If he thought going for a run right now would soothe me, he was dead wrong. And if he thought I could focus on a movie, he wasn't as bright as I thought he was. "What are we doing?" I protested. Link didn't stop until he reached the gym.
"Talking it out doesn't help you. You need to do. You don't have access to your art studio, and you can't go for a ride. But you can fight."
He flipped on the lights, illuminating the space. The fact that my brother was a professional athlete meant that he had a ridiculous setup in his gym. Half a dozen cardio machines, countless pieces of weight training equipment, and a whole boxing and martial arts setup. There was a punching bag, a speed bag, a kickboxing bag, and, of course, fight mats. Link moved toward those. I just stared after him as he slid off his shoes. Even the man's feet were hot. Link crossed to a cabinet with a variety of gear. Pulling out two sets of hand wraps, he tossed one to me. "You're wearing jeans," I said dumbly. I had changed into loose shorts and a sports tank, but Link was still in the same pants and tee he'd worn to the collective.
"Maybe it'll give you the upper hand,"
he shot back, wrapping the fabric around his hands. I scowled in his direction, but it died as he moved around the circle on the mat, loosening his muscles. My mouth went dry. Even in those simple movements, he had a grace I couldn't explain. It pulled me in and held me captive.
Come on, Vicious. You need to let it out.
Warmth and annoyance warred within me, and over the same thing, that he understood me so well. But I started moving because I worried that I'd combust if I didn't. Was afraid I'd snap and bite someone's head off who didn't deserve it. I quickly donned the wraps and began swinging my arms in warm-up moves that brought new blood flow into them as I kicked off my flip-flops. My thighs and calves warmed, the tension there easing. Link slowed and moved to the center of the mat. I did the same. As I met him there, I realized just how much bigger Link was than me. He dwarfed me in every way. And that should have put me on edge, but my jiu-jitsu training was the great equalizer, allowing me to use someone's size against them.
Gonna give me all you got, Vicious?
Link challenged. Everything heated in a new way, the buzz of what was to come mixing with the knowledge that Link was such a beast in the ring. I arched a brow at him. That depends. You gonna hold back because you think I'm breakable? The gold in those hazel eyes flashed brighter.
Would never disrespect you in that way.
And the funny thing was, I believed him. Link might be the only person who wouldn't hold back. My brothers, the guys at the gym, they all restrained themselves in some way, and it annoyed the hell out of me. The only thing that eased it was when I handed one of them their ass. I lifted my hands, closing them into fists as I settled into a fighting stance. Then I waited. Link studied me for a moment as if checking whether I was ready. Then his knuckles bumped mine. The tap was feather light, and then Link was moving again, his panther-like grace in full effect. We circled each other, and he was surprisingly light on his feet for his size. Each of us sent out a few testing jabs and the occasional kick. We were studying each other's defenses. While we'd each watched each other spar once, that was different than being in the ring opposite someone, seeing how they moved up close and feeling how much heat they could put behind their blows. And Link was a beast of beauty. He moved in with a sneaky uppercut, a punch I wouldn't have expected, given how much larger he was than me. That punch required a lower angle, one that meant he needed to get down. But Link had it all, apparently. Quickness, power, and flexibility. My skin tingled. A combination of the rush of the bout and feeling way the hell turned on by all that was Link. He sent another punch in my direction, but I didn't let this one connect. I ducked under the blow and took advantage of his open side. My fist connected with his ribs and Link sucked in a breath. But I was already moving out of the retaliation strike zone. Some alpha males at the gym couldn't handle me getting in good hits or, God forbid, kicking their asses. But Link just grinned at me, a little too widely.
Damn, Vicious. That was good.
You look like one of those freaky clowns at a carnival. You know the ones where you shoot out the teeth? It's creeping me out. Link chuckled.
Can I appreciate good form?
Only from the mat, I shot back, moving in an attempt to foot sweep. There was just one problem. While I could potentially use Link's size against him, he was too damn centered. His balance was something I'd need to study. I only had a chance to curse mentally before he flipped me onto my back. I hit the mat with a smack, but rolled away before he could pin me. I was on my feet in a flash, circling away to regain my balance.
Nice try, Vicious,
he goaded. My eyes narrowed. You're like some Zen giant. It's annoying.
Good, Link shot back. Maybe it'll annoy you enough to let go.
I saw it then, the way his moves were designed to make me snap, to release everything that was pent up inside me, and that did uncork the anger. I moved without him expecting it, grabbing his wrist and twisting it.